Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
All right. What's going on, everybody? We are back. It's been a, three-week hiatus, Dan?
Yeah.
Something like that?
It's yeah, lots happened.
A lot's happened, Dan. It has. A lot has happened. Yeah. New jobs. We're still friends, though.
Nope. Only one of us has a new job. So new job.
Yes. So for those of you who did not know, I moved on from Vaco.
Everybody knows. We've got a guest, Taylor.
All right. Sounds good. So very excited to hang out with Jeremiah today at No Commerce. Dan, real quick, man, we got to go back to old times. What's the weather in Tampa like this morning?
Hot, humid. Jeremiah, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah, great. It's great to connect with you guys and chat with you guys.
Don't ask how the weather is in Tampa in July. It's hot and humid every year. And it's going to rain at like 3:15.
I just really like the beach, and I just want to live vicariously through you. It's fine.
More than welcome to visit.
Okay, sounds good. I need to make that trip down. So, Jeremiah, No Commerce.
It's nice to meet you,
man. Let's give the people what they want, a quick background about who you are, and let's dive into No Commerce and what you guys do.
Yeah, man, sounds good. How far back do you want me to go?
Birth, city, state, social security number, and then kind of, you know, what your mom loved raising you. No, I'm just kidding. Just
high-level professional. Maiden name, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe address, maybe high school mascot.
Perfect.
Yeah, just a few details.
You guys might need to send over a spreadsheet so I can fill out all
that. Yeah, I know.
Perfect.
That should be part of your like questionnaire that you send people when you get them on the podcast. Just do what they say. Anyway,
I'm just trying to run a huge identity scam.
Yeah.
So just a super high level. I've been in tech in some capacity since 2010. I started a company when I was in college with a couple of friends. Most recently I founded a company called No Commerce. We launched it from within a marketing agency called Lunar Solar Group. So that was kind of like the genesis of it. But basically we do surveys for e-commerce brands. That's the simplest way to describe it. So about 2,500 brands we work with, 6.5 million questions per month as of right now that are being answered. That's doubled since the beginning of the year, basically. So we're growing pretty fast as well. It's been fun. A lot of work in the startup life, right? So we launched right about 3 years ago, actually, in like a pretty limited capacity. And then we launched our full platform September 2021. So we went from 30 brands in beta to 2,500 on it in less than 2 years. So it's been pretty fast growth.
Jeremiah, what are people wanting to know? What are companies wanting to know? I guess is the better question. What are companies wanting to know when they're asking survey data when it comes to e-commerce? Dive into that a little bit more because I think that's pretty broad. Yeah. And I know you guys.
Yeah, for sure. It is super broad. There's like a ton of possibilities for sure. Number one use case for our platform specifically is diving into marketing attribution. So, it's been a little over 2 years now. iOS 14.5 came out and they basically allowed people to block the ability for apps to track them across the
which
web,
was a
right?
huge hit. I mean, from what I mean, I don't play in that space, but all the podcasts I listened to, that was a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I would say that now this is I could be totally wrong on this. I actually don't think that it hit the platforms as much as you would think in terms of like their ability to deliver ads. I think it really hit the ability to track the performance of ads. And so like there's been a rise of a bunch of tech in the last 2 years and us included, frankly, like we've had a pretty big, it's been a big impact to our business in technology that helps you better understand the impact of your ads. And so that's the number one use case for our platform. Brands come in, they sign up and they run surveys asking questions like, how did you first hear about us? What brought you to our site today? How long did you know about us before placing your first purchase? And then we kind of help them triangulate those data points against their click tracking that they're doing, and you know, like different like media mix modeling is a common thing. So they're you're basically looking at like all the different inputs and trying to project what the value of each of those inputs is based off of the total output, right? And so the impact of you know, if you see a big spike on TikTok, for instance, what's kind of the halo effect of that? So yeah, it's definitely that's definitely the number one case. I would say though, like, we don't see that as the most important thing for brands to understand. And I would say most brands also would say that that's probably true. So beyond that, there's a lot of additional types of insight that a brand could uncover by using our software. So demographics is an example of that. So it's a fairly high level one, but just looking into like who is actually buying from you. More important than that, in my opinion, is why are people buying from you, right? So when somebody places a purchase, try to dive into a little bit about like what were the things that motivated them to the purchase? Why did they choose your brand over competitors? All that kind of stuff. And then obviously if somebody didn't buy, this is the one that's harder to do because when somebody purchases, there's a very high engagement touch point with your brand. We see about a 50% response rate on those surveys. 45 is the actual average, but you know, close to half of people answer those surveys. When somebody doesn't buy from you, the likelihood that they're going to fill out a survey if you email it to them or drop it in like an abandoned, some sort of like abandonment flow is pretty low. So it's a little bit harder to get data in that context. A little bit easier to understand like the positive side of it than it is to understand the negative, but it's still pretty interesting. And then the last thing I would say is like what we look at is that there are, you know, we work with 2,500 brands, anywhere from like the company that's just now launching their website to we have companies we work with that are like a couple of conglomerates that are over $1 billion a year in revenue, and some individual brands that are hundreds of millions a year in revenue. And so it's a very wide range there, right? But what we see is even on brands that are doing 50 to 250 million a year in revenue, if they are digital first, they typically don't have like data science teams, they don't have like the you know, in-house like psychology experts, all that kind of stuff, and so they're relying on external resources to if nothing else have the time to be able to dive into like the motivators and like what it is that drives people to purchase and all that. And so we're really trying to standardize a lot of that and make it something that we can help brands digest in a matter of, you know, minutes, as opposed to like needing to go out and hire a team of people to make it happen. So that's kind of like the next evolution of our business.
What? So I'm curious. So no commerce, how does like, I guess the buyer journey work, right? So like, or to use y'all. So I go to nocommerce.com and I want to use y'all. What does that look like? Do I pay a subscription? Is it a one-time subscription of users? And then like, does it latch on? Does it like API into our marketplace? Like, what does that whole thing look like?
So 90-ish% of our business, actually maybe even a little bit higher than that, is Shopify stores. So,
that's what I thought.
So big group of Shopify stores. And in that context, basically what it looks like is you come in, you choose what plan you want. We have anything from anywhere from a free plan to enterprise. And so you can come in, choose what plan you want, and most brands are paying us $99 or $249 a month. Those are kind of the two main plans. And so it's relatively inexpensive, but it is a monthly fee. And then with Shopify, it's like a one-click install. So you literally just like connect, API connected to Shopify with it. There's like an app install process. Okay, technically it's like three clicks, but you know what I mean. Click a button and you click like a couple of confirmation buttons and then you're done. And then it's just a matter of like choosing what questions you want to ask. One of the things that, going back to the idea of like how do we help brands get to insight faster, one of the things that we did early on was build pre-built survey templates. So like if your goal is marketing attribution, we've already built out what we believe to be the best set of questions to understand why your customers, like where they're coming from, all that kind of stuff. So that's the way that works. If somebody is on a custom build site, then in that context, they are going to need to basically like install an SDK or JavaScript snippet, whatever you want to call it. It's relatively easy to do as well. But you know, that's a 30-minute process. Sometimes it's a couple hours depending on like how much you got set up, but it's sure. relatively fast as well.
Who are some bigger competitors in your space, or who are you going up against? Because in my mind, I mean, this seems straightforward, which is good. Is this a very competitive space? Are you guys doing something completely different? Are there other people doing what you're doing?
Yeah. So surveys, like just to be frank, like surveys in general are essentially a commodity, right? Like, I don't know how many survey companies are out there, but there's hundreds, if not thousands.
Too many.
Yeah. And so like, really it's a question of like, what do we do that's unique and different and actually stands out? And so I think that's where like, if you dial it into, let's talk about like e-commerce specific surveys, really post-purchase is the bread and butter of what we do. So if you want to look at e-commerce post-purchase surveys that are focused on like associating revenue to survey data, because that's another important piece of this that I didn't really touch on, but that's part of what we're doing is looking at like the revenue interaction of all this stuff too. So like, for instance, we often see that TikTok has a lower AOV than Instagram, right? So people are the order value on a store is going to be a little bit lower for TikTok than it is for Instagram. The interesting piece, though, that you don't see when you're asking a single question like that, but we've seen anecdotally, at least, we need to dive into this more, but anecdotally, I can say that like when we've had brands running survey asking where somebody discovered them, and then a survey question asking for age, what we typically see is that TikTok buyers are younger, and there's actually a higher association between age and the amount you spend on a website than there is where you actually discovered a brand, right? So like some of that just comes down to the age of who's buying more than it does like where they're coming from. So there's some interesting things where like you wouldn't understand that unless you had a broader level of insight. And so, going back to your specific question, there's a company called Okendo, which does reviews. They've also added surveys. Company called Faring, which is like, they just do surveys. So they're more like us. And then there's a bunch of like smaller apps in the Shopify app ecosystem. So there's probably like 20 to 30 apps that do some version of this. What really makes us unique. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Nope. That was it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Perfect. What really makes us unique is I would say like, we're currently number two in terms of like total size of merchants, merchant count, amount of data we collect, all that kind of stuff. So we're the second largest right now. What we're really leaning into is like this broader insight. So like what I was just describing to you, let's say you're running a survey on your website and you see that the average order value of TikTok is $95 and your average order value for Instagram is $115. You may look at that and be like, okay, well, TikTok sucks. What we want to be able to do is help you. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of like, I definitely do not use TikTok.
TikTok does.
But in terms of like, they're actually partners of ours. They give our customers
TikTok doesn't suck then.
But no, I actually really enjoy working with them. I do not use the app. It's I can't get into that. I would can't go down that route.
Taylor's a big TikToker.
I'm a big TikToker. Yeah. I call it research. That's what I do.
Yeah,
research.
Sorry, Jeremiah, we keep interrupting you. You're getting
too. No, man, you're good. Here. But I think what we're trying to bring is a broader view of data that helps inform what something actually means on an individual brand basis. So like if you're coming to us, you're running a survey, what we ideally want to be able to do is say like, hey, we've got all this broader insight that we can also apply to your understanding. And we have that because we are A, like helping to standardize data as much as we can, and B, we're collecting data across multiple countries, multiple industries, and millions of touch points every month. And so that's really what we're trying to get to. That's much harder though than just dropping a survey on a website and showing you a bar chart. So
sure,
we're working on it.
Quick question. Are these questions templates? Are they a pool of questions that people can choose from? Do you work with each one of your clients to figure out what kind of questions they want to be asking, need to be asking? And then that yields to the broader point that I want to ask too is, I know that you mentioned that a lot of these companies don't have data scientists and people that actually know how to analyze data. It's harder than just looking at a graph and saying, oh, you know, TikTok sucks or Instagram is better, whatever it might be. So I guess my two-part question is, one, how do people get to choose which questions are on a survey? And then two, what kind of help are you guys providing to those? If you do, or if not, is that a feature that you guys might add in the future where you have some data scientists on retainer or whatever it might be to help them understand yep. data? Because that is hard.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So we've kind of gone, like one of my favorite things to think about and to try to work through is pricing in the context of a startup. And so like when you look at what we do, you have to start somewhere, right? And so like our initial starting point is like we are a post-purchase survey. And so what that does is it tells our customers this is a survey tool. And so when you talk about a survey tool, you're now being priced compared against Typeform and SurveyMonkey and all of those kinds of things. And we actually are, like, for higher volume stores, we're actually significantly less expensive because like we don't limit the amount of data you can collect. So like if you were to run a SurveyMonkey survey with the same amount of data collected that a lot of these brands are collecting, it might be a few $1,000s a month. You just wouldn't use it that way because that's not really what it's designed for, right? So, but at the end of the day, like you go to those websites and you see $79 a month, $99 a month. Like that's what we're being priced compared to in that context. And so that's kind of like the starting point in the entry. And then we go to our customers and we say, hey, like we know you need data support. Would you pay $2,000 a month to have like somebody on retainer who can help determine what questions to ask, walk you through this process, all that kind of stuff? And the answer is no, we don't want to pay $2,000 a month for that. And then it's like, well, would you pay $1,000 a month for that? And the answer is still usually no. And so we do have customers who would pay, but it's not a great way to build a business in that context. And so what we've really been looking at is how do we, so going back to your question about like, how do we help them run the right surveys? It starts with templates. So we have like pre-built surveys to say like, if your goal is marketing attribution, here are three options of marketing attribution templates that are good for your business. So that's kind of like step one. So we've tried to standardize that stuff as much as we can. When it comes to supporting our customers, then we also try to just like get in the weeds with them as much as makes sense. I mean, when somebody's paying you $100 a month, you're not going to get on a call with them every week. It just, that doesn't work. But like we will hop on a couple of onboarding calls with them and talk them through like, what are you trying to understand? And here's some ways to understand it and all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, if they have questions, we'll answer their questions. It's pretty common for somebody on our team to just hop on a call with somebody to review their data with them. But those are not like officially parts of those plans. That's kind of like that next step. And then the next iteration of this that we're getting to is more questions that can't be changed at all. So like right now, if you want to run an attribution survey, you can change the questions, you can change the answer options, all of that. What we're getting to is things like, you could go look this up, but it's called the Direct to Consumer Confidence Index. So we partnered with an agency to rebuild the consumer confidence index. And so we have a bunch of brands we're working with. There's a specific set of questions that we're asking that help us understand consumer confidence and sentiment across like the United States at this point. And so those questions cannot be edited. You cannot change them because if you change them, it changes the meaning of that data, right? And so we're getting into more of that where it's like, okay, how can we put together a set of questions that unlock a specific insight for brands that have relevance across hundreds of brands? And it's never going to be relevant for everybody, but it can be relevant for a lot of brands. And so let's build kind of like pieces of insight that we can unlock. And then on the back end, then we say, okay, we've got a data scientist who's analyzing all of this and is disseminating the insight across hundreds of brands at once. And it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be like Coca-Cola. They've got their, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year spent in customer insights and they've got whole teams. asking very specific questions to understand very specific parts of their business. So we can't get you to that level, but maybe we can get you 70 or 80% of the way there for hundreds of dollars a month, or maybe a couple thousand dollars a month, depending on, you know, what you're looking for in the size of your brand. So that's the goal. Again, it's like, that's a whole lot harder than saying like, here's a survey, go build your survey. But that's definitely what we're working towards.
That's really cool.
It's awesome. As we wrap up here, Jeremiah, kind of last few questions. First off, you know, we talked about how you guys make money. Are you guys taking on funding? Is there any thought about it funding in the future? What does that look like? Kind of future growth, if you just kind of want to lay that out as much as you can, obviously publicly.
Yeah, for sure. So we actually sold last year. So we've actually been acquired. We sold to an e-commerce tech holding company called WeCommerce, which is now merged with a company called Tiny. So yeah, if you go to, you can look up tiny.com. That's Andrew Wilkinson and Chris Sparling are the founder CEOs, that they're out of Vancouver, BC. But yeah, so we're now one of 42 companies in that set of holding, or in that holding company. It's, I love it though. Like we operate as a startup, right? So essentially we have a budget, and then all things that we want to do fall under that budget. So like if I want to go out and build a new product, there's no restriction on that. If I want to, like, whatever I feel like is best for a business, I have full authority to do that. So that's really awesome. And, you know, I suppose there's probably be some limitations. Like if I went and built like something that's a direct competitor to one of our other portfolio companies, there'd probably be a conversation about that at least. But yeah, it's a fun environment. Like we've got the stability of a public company while still getting to do things the way that we see best fit for our business.
Oh, man, it was an undisclosed amount. I was going to see how you were living out there in Denver, but an undisclosed amount doesn't give me anything. I was just out there in May. I wish I would have known you. I was out there couple times.
Oh, that's Red awesome. Rocks.
Yeah. Cool, man. A couple different shows at Red Rocks, but congratulations, man. That's awesome. You know, obviously most people that start companies, you know, either expect the acquisition or, you know, vie for it. Right. So that's awesome. It seems like a really fascinating product. I'm always really intrigued, especially when it comes to consumer confidence, when it comes to, you know, buyer confidence in the economy and everything else, especially with, you know, it's pretty uneasy economic times right now where it doesn't seem to make sense, right? Inflation's still high. People are buying and spending like crazy. What are people buying and spending on? It's a fascinating world. What's one piece of data? Now I know a lot of stuff is probably protected and all that kind of stuff, but what's one piece of data that is would probably surprise listeners about Shoppers that you've learned over the last 3 years?
So depending on who you're talking to, this would or would not be surprising potentially. But I think so in the online advertising space, there's kind of this expectation that somebody sees an ad, they click the ad and they buy. Right. And so there's like, if you go talk to an advertiser, and ask them like how long it takes somebody to purchase, they'll say, oh, it's, you know, most people buy in the first 48 hours. They'll go look at Google Analytics. But that's actually not what we see when we survey customers. What we actually see is that the number one time frame from discovering a brand to purchasing is one day, but it's about 30% of the or I think it's even less than that. It's like 25-ish% of people buy in the first day. 60% of people take a month or longer to make a purchase. So from the time you discover a brand, actually, I might be wrong. I think it might be more than a week. Regardless, though, the point is it takes you much longer to purchase than it takes people much longer to purchase a product than what you typically would think it does. Now, this is the case for people selling on products on their own websites. I would guess that Amazon's different, right? Like, I feel like everything I buy on Amazon's an impulse buy. I'm looking for that 2-day shipping. But in terms of like, hey, I saw an ad on Facebook and I was really compelled by this product, and it took longer to buy. And then the other thing, drilling in just a little bit deeper there, you see a difference in time to purchase by where somebody discovered a product. So if somebody discovered a product on Google, typically very fast purchase time, right? Most people buy in less than a week. And that makes sense. You're in problem solving mode. You're looking for a solution to a specific problem. If you discover a product on TikTok, it's usually weeks, if not months, to buy because you're in entertainment mode. YouTube is the same way too, right? You're in entertainment mode. You're probably not going to drop what you're doing to go make that purchase. You want to finish the video you're watching or keep scrolling. And so you actually end up buying weeks or months later. So that's been one thing that I think has surprised a lot of people that we work with. But I think it's also just like a really interesting mini case study in consumer psychology and behavior. So yeah,
that's fascinating. Or they're waiting on Shein to steal the idea and sell it for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Couple months later.
Yeah. Exactly. That could be it too.
Awesome. Well, Jeremiah, thanks again, man. We appreciate it. I hope you have a good one. We'll definitely stay in touch. Dan and I are just going to continue to hang out for a little bit. So you're free to go.
But Jeremiah, right. I will now fill out every survey when I go to buy something online, hoping that it helps you guys.
Perfect.
Because I usually skip. Usually,
yes. There's PSA, fill out your surveys, people. If you get one thing out of it, fill out your
help Jeremiah.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, it's really great to chat with you guys. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
What up, Dan?
What's up, buddy?
It's good to see you.
Here we are. Competitors, enemies. Frenemies.
Really. Okay. Man, I think that was interesting. You know, this isn't premeditated on my part, but we seem to be getting more e-com stuff lately, which has been kind of an interesting field for me to learn. This company reminds me of, and it's not the same, don't get me wrong, so of Swapped, right? Remember Swapped, the QR code people?
Yeah.
Kind of something that's, you know, again, surveys have always been around, QR codes have always been around, but it's like, what are you doing with those to make them a little bit more unique and a little bit more digestible for the individuals?
Yeah, you know, surveys obviously are one of those things, that most people just kind of deal with. It's not something that people usually like filling out, right? But if you can create an environment and looking at their website and doing some research while Jeremiah was chatting as well, the quicker or the lower the barrier of entry into collecting data from somebody you make it, whether it's just a quick little, you know, survey, whether it's embedded into your purchase, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of times that they'll be like, you know, thank you for your purchase, we'll send you an email after, right? It's like,
right,
who's going to open that, right? So if you can embed it in and get that data, right? You know, I feel for businesses, right? As somebody that has, you know, a small business, you know, with another podcast that I do, and, you know, somebody that pays for advertising, that kind of stuff, you often don't know where people are coming from, right? There's some, but you usually have some gaps in that funnel. And this might be something that, you know, we can implement for us, right? You know, do have an e-commerce presence, but there's a way for you to be able to track and be able to spend, you know, appropriately as well. But being able to, you know where your money's coming from, know where your shoppers are coming from, know why they did purchase, why they didn't purchase, you know, why they abandoned their cart, all, you know, very fascinating piece of information. I know a lot of people jump immediately to whatever's the trendiest right now. It's TikTok, before that it was Instagram, before that it was Facebook. You know, but being able to know where your shoppers are and where you can spend the most and be able to get the most out of it, but also know, hey, you know, I might need to do some heavy lifting over on TikTok. Why is the average TikTok buyer spending less money, right? And those are things that you're only going to learn and glean with data over time. You know, one of the things that, you know, we talked about that's not a feature for them yet, it seems like it might be a possibility one day, you know, maybe, is having, you know, some data analysis, you know, professionals on their team. And, you know, I don't know how you work it, but, you know, maybe you can't, right? I don't know.
I thought that was an interesting sell. And Jeremiah, if you watch this, if you're still watching or watch this in the future, I think from my marketing brain, what he said, I think resonated. It's like, we're kind of act as your, like an extension of a data analytics or data science team. Because I think a lot of these small e-com, like I think of these e-com shops, right?
Yeah.
That we see, they're not even thinking about that stuff. But if you can work that into your vernacular and be like, yo, like not only do we do surveys, we also help you analyze this stuff to make you, and now I know that's in their tagline, but maybe digging in more into that and leaning in more to that, I think could be pretty good for companies.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of the average Shopify store, right? It's usually a few people, right? It might be a handful of people, might be, you know, a dozen or so. Most e-commerce websites are usually just a couple of people, right? Like you have some designers, maybe you have an operations finance type person. You know, let's just say you have six total people. They can't afford, you know, data analysis. They can't afford, you know, even if they get all this data, right? And it's all CSV file of, hey, here's your consumer data for your 15,000 purchases. What do you do with that information? And how do you get good information out? And, you know, a lot of people will immediately just pump it into a bar graph and be like, oh, look, we have 40% of our buyers from Instagram, 20% from TikTok, 10% from Facebook, and whatever other percentage, I think I'm at another 10% are from Google, right? But but how do we learn and glean information from that, and being able to do that? And maybe, again, it's not a feature, right? Maybe it's too cumbersome. Maybe it's too big. You know, I don't know how you implement that when you have 2,500 customers and obviously growing. But, you know, I do think that there's some play there as well, because data analysis is hard, right? It is not easy. A lot of people just think, hey, you plug it into an Excel spreadsheet, you move that over to Tableau, and all of a sudden you have these graphs. It's like, how do you actually analyze that and actually build off of that? But I think the first thing is doing what they're doing, and being able to make it palatable so that you want to fill out that survey, that you can give that data. And it seems to me like a 45% completion rate on a purchase is like staggeringly high. I thought he was going to say a number in like the 20s, and those that didn't buy are going to be like in the, like the 4%. I know that if I didn't buy something from you, the chances of me filling out a survey are maybe 1 in 1 million, maybe 1 in 100,000. Right?
I will tell you this though. I am always open to fill out a survey if there's 1 to 3 multiple choice questions. But the moment you ask me to free form, I completely exit out of it. I've noticed my kind of buyer stuff. I'll always, if you pop up something and it's like 1 to 10, or had you here, and it's like, and I can just click through real quick for 1 to 3 questions. Yeah. I find myself not like wanting to move forward after 3 questions. I do fill those out, but obviously I'm
probably, I'm a big Likert scale guy and a big radio button guy, right? So binary options, or, you know, a few different options, or give me a scale of 1 to 5, right? Yep.
That's it.
But that's the thing, is being able to know what's the difference between a 3, a 4, and a 5, what makes that, right? So those are all things that obviously they're gaining and everything else. But in 3 years, to go from building inside of an ad agency, I think, to parsing out an entire business, to then getting bought a year ago. So in 2 years, you know, to get acquired and to still be with the company and to still be passionate about it, especially after it seems like it's been over a year. So he's still there. Which is cool. You know, a lot of people, when they get acquired, are there for the requisite 1 year and then move on to the next thing. So it seems like you're still super passionate. So congratulations, Jeremiah. Great product, great insight. That's all I got today.
Thanks, Jeremiah.
Thanks for coming on the pod.
You guys have a good one. We will be back next week. See y'all.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in to this episode of the Unicorn Finders. If you found any of that interesting or helpful at all, please share it with your friends. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or want to be a part of our podcast, be sure to email us at info@theunicornfinders.com.
And while you're at it, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe us 5 stars and share it with a friend or two. We'll see you next week.